Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Thanks for joining in. Big week with the elections. That many elections? Very few, actually, but they were all that there was, and harbinger of things to come. I don't know. We'll discuss that. Some biblical implications. If any of you want to reach me, you may do so. Red Sky Radio 777. @gmail.com, 777 @gmail.com. Well, this was, I didn't pay much attention, I'll just tell you right now, to what happened the other night in the election on Tuesday night, because none of it came as a surprise. I kind of expected everything that happened, but we will get to that in due course today here. I'm going to cover some other things first. That's going to be the second portion of the program where we cover the ramifications, which may be greater than what you think. I don't know if ramification or it's a reflection of things more concerning than what you would have thought of otherwise. Just a couple of quick things leading off here. I am not a big fan of AI, as you've heard me share, with the ability to, frankly, defame pastors and preachers and have them saying other things on broadcasts such as this one. That hasn't happened to me. At least I don't know about it. I'm kind of small potatoes, though, so I'd be a little bit surprised. And there are some things that for AI, actually, I've rather enjoyed. I can't deny it. When I saw, and there turns out there's a whole bunch of them out there in the last, I don't know, a couple of weeks maybe, of baby Trump. So they take AI, they got a baby, and it's absolutely Trump's voice. I don't know if it's an AI-based voice or if they actually, in some cases, have taken things that he has said and just recorded them, but put them on this baby Trump with a Make America Great hat again, and he's drinking out of a little milk bottle with a nipple on the end of it, occasionally in one of them. You got a baby Kamala Harris toting around a glass of wine, and she's hammered. It is actually really funny. I thought, boy, this is probably the innocent side of AI, I'm sure the dark side could be far greater, already has been in some respects. But one of the horrible things that is showing up very quickly with AI is the fact that there are a number of people taking medical advice from AI chatbots. And how is it working out? There's an incredible number of them that are ending up in the emergency room that would not have otherwise gone to the emergency room because what they were dealing with was something that you'd want to deal with, but it wasn't serious. It wasn't hospital level. It wasn't ER. It wasn't any of that, but it turned into it after taking AI chatbot advice for a medical situation. I don't know. All right. The next thing I want to cover, because this relates to a previous story too. These first few things are kind of replays of a bit of a previous program, but it makes a point that I couldn't have made in the previous program, like to deal with the AI and the medical advice. This happened to deal with just the other day, the 11 people that are injured in the United Kingdom on a mass train stabbing. 11. And in reading this article, there's some things that the article will tell you because it doesn't tell you. And what I mean by that is when there are conspicuously absent facts, which are known to the authorities, maybe known to the news organization, but they're concealed or just simply not revealed, then that starts to give you an indication of who's behind it. I'm going to give you an example that probably is going to bother some of my black friends, but that's the fact. Whenever I see an article with a black person having attacked a white person, like the guy on the train in, what was it, Connecticut, I guess it was, a stab that pretty young white girl, that's what she was, and he started to brag about, I got the white girl, I got the white girl. Why is it that every time that happens, the news media always says it's a mental issue, it's a stress issue, it's a mental disorder? It's presumptively a mental disorder when it's one particular race, but if it's in the relatively rare circumstances, they are rare, where the white person is attacking a black, the person's always is immediately presumed to be a racist, an avowed white supremacist. Those definitions are given to the person without any evidence because it fits the narrative. The reverse narrative, then every black person seems to have mental problems. That's just the way that, I mean, I've got a stack, and I mean a stack. I don't want to cover it other than this brief little thing here that what I see and hear in the news, I know something about the story by what is omitted. And so when there is something that happens and they describe the person, and they'll say a person of, Anglo descent, 5'10", wearing blah, blah, blah. Well, then we know it's a white guy. If there's not a description purposefully omitted of what the person is, you generally know then that it's black or Hispanic. It's a fact. And that when I see these articles, I will go on multiple websites till I get to find where somewhere the name is leaked out. And then I go put that person's name online into the computer, and out comes a picture of the attacker, the rapist, the murderer. It is the world we live in. And so what I noticed here in this train stabbing incident, that is, how many times in this very short article did they make a point of saying that the stabber was a British citizen? He's a British citizen. He's a British citizen. Why? Because they want to drum it into your head that it's not a whack job Islamic screwball that's out there stabbing everybody he possibly can. And after it's 11 whites that are stabbed by this Islamic whack job, the police still say that they're searching for a motivation when the guy's yelling, Shmalahu Shmakbar. It's just ridiculous. It ticks me off, as you can tell. Well, so you're a British citizen. He's a British citizen. Well, they went through the whole thing here. The 32-year-old British suspect arrested for attempted murder. You don't get to know anything about this person. They will not give you a description or a name until you go to a related link, and then a related link of testimony by the witnesses. What does a witness say? The one was said she was asked to describe the man because she was cowering on the floor, begging for her life. Said it was a man dressed in black with very dark skin and dreadlocks. That didn't show up in the main article. Because we sure don't want to think that there's a disproportionate incidence of crime committed by one race versus another race. People, you can call me racist if you want, but is it racist if it's true? No. Is it a homophobic if it's true? If it's sexist, is it sexist if what I'm saying about the sexes happens to be true? Of course not. It's just what people don't want to hear. So that is just a glaring example of it. Now we're going to move, since that person was, they said he was a British suspect. They didn't actually say British citizen. So that might mean he's just lived there for a period of time. They actually didn't even say citizen because the UK doesn't have the guts. But here's one other thing. We got 11 people stabbed on a train in the UK, and some of them are not out of the hospital because they're very seriously wounded. and all it would have taken, you UK morons, is one good guy with a gun and toast the jackass. Right there. After the first stab, proof is in. Put him down. Look at all the heartache, pain, expense, maybe lives, disabilities that have been saved or could be saved if a person with a gun, legally carrying, but not in the UK, you know what? We didn't separate them from them early enough. I think 1776 was too late. We should have bolted from them a long time ago. We have a shared language between people who no longer have anything in common. That's right. We share a language with a country with whom we have nothing in common anymore. There's no free speech. You can't talk about queers, Islamics. You can't say anything about any race without it being presumptively racial. Truth, screw the truth, they say. We're all about feelings and getting in touch and wanting to be, well, you know what, why don't you just say that? Why don't you go around all the hospital rooms, UK cops, and apologize? Because there's not one of you for every UK citizen. We're the only country in the world with a Second Amendment or Second Amendment equivalent. Of course, if they had the right to keep and bear arms, it wouldn't be called that. It'd be called something else. We're the only country. That's what this is really about. And the more you don't punish people, the more for something that they should be punished, the greater freedom they're going to feel to not only commit the same crime again, but to expand upon the crime again. So let's move to another suspect group here. Illinois. Illegal alien kills a GOP elected official and his wife in this crash. Indiana, 146 illegal immigrant truck drivers arrested in Indiana crackdown. Noam says, your days are numbered, boys. The violence is so out of whack. You know what? I'm going to save this piece for a little bit later. I'm going to reposition my pieces because I don't want to leave out some stuff dealing with the election here. I want to get to it. I want to get to it earlier because I never know when I'm going to go off either on a tangent or a rabbit trail or some epiphany from the Holy Spirit. Well, the Republicans got shellacked. That much we know, right? It was, if I had the song by the Surfaris from 1963 called Wipeout. Wipeout. That was a horrible rendition. But my little brother could play the drums as fast as a guy on that record. I don't have it. I would play it because it was a wipeout. But as I said, there is no surprise. I'm hopeful, but we're getting the government we deserve. We really are. I mean, the fact that Trump can do so many things right and have it be such a complete repudiation of him and what he stands for should be alarming all of us. The country is not repenting. The country is not returning to any sense of morality that could hold us together. There is not a tie that binds this country together any more than we and England. We have divisions which are so extreme. As it says in Scripture, a great gulf fixed between the man in Abraham's bosom and the man in torment. Great gulf fixed. There's no crossing over. Well, I mean, a person on the bad side could get saved and come over. The person on the good side could throw away his salvation and go over to the bad side. Yeah, you can't lose your salvation, but you can throw it away. There's a gazillion scriptures for a different program that deal with that topic. So that's point number one. No surprises here. But point number two, I love Donald Trump for his policies. I don't necessarily love him for his behavior. And you've heard me say this before, the guy shoots his mouth off too often. He is full of pride. He's prickly skinned, thin skinned. He just can't keep his mouth shut. So the first thing he did was start blaming the Republican candidates. It's always somebody else that's at fault with him. And he thinks that the problem that they lost was that they didn't identify with him enough. In reality, this election was clearly a repudiation against Trump in an odd sort of way. You see, I love his policies. His demeanor is bothersome sometimes, but I can get over it. I like his policies. And that's what the person is there for, their policies, not their behavior, not whether they're charismatic, not whether they're a smooth talker, not whether they've got 1.5 pounds of axle grease in their hair like Gavin Newsom. No, it isn't that. It's the policies. And so you put up with idiosyncrasies and other things if the person is doing a good job. However, there are a lot of people that don't think that way. I will never forget this woman who was a diehard conservative. She told me she voted for Barack Obama. I said, "What? Why on earth could you vote for Barack Hussein Obama?" She said, "Because he's just such a nice talker. I like listening to him." And I wanted to say to her, "Well, I know somebody will take the mark of the beast when the Antichrist comes. You. Because he's not going to have two heads and 18 warts on his face and 3 eyes and cross-eyed in all 3 of them, however that would work. No. He's going to be talented, charming, good-looking, well-dressed, well-spoken. How else do you seduce people? How else do you confuse them? How else do you deceive them?" Well, that woman was deceived. I wanted to say, "Gosh, man, you fell for it easier than Eve fell for it in the Garden of Eden." And Trump has a measure of fault in this. I'm just going to say it. I mean, whether you're talking about annexing Canada, sending in troops to Nigeria, which he has absolutely no right to do, but he thinks he does. If he thinks he does, then he does. Seth Meyers, criticism of Trump. Trump wants to say he should be investigated because he thinks what he's saying is illegal. Donald, it's not illegal for people to hate you or illegal for people to say really nasty things about you. If you weren't so thin-skinned and prideful and narcissistic, you could swallow that pill easier. Trump wants to jail people for talking badly about him. He's always talking about how great he is. He was a liability to the Republicans, not for his policies, but primarily for that behavior. You can love the policies and hate the behavior. Donald Trump is not a dictator, but that's easier for me to say because I support his policies. But it's easy why those who don't like his policies to see him as a dictator. And they do. He isn't, but I can see why they would if you don't. I just flipped this. If everything Obama or Biden did made me hurl, and then Obama or Biden went on to talk like Trump talks about kind of being the greatest, and I did this and I did that, and talking, I think I'm going to do this and that, and things which are blatantly unconstitutional. You know what? It would be easy to hate him for his behavior because I already hated him for his policies. But in this case, these people who don't like his policies, they it's easier for them to see him as being dictatorial. So this election was frankly a kick to his groin. And Trump just doesn't take it well. Doesn't mean I have any feelings changed about him and what he's done and for the most part doing. But he needs to keep his mouth shut, thinking, "I might do this, I might do that." He's caused way too much turbulence in the world of tariffs. They're up, they're down, they're sideways, they're doubled, they're tripled, they're cut in half. Depending upon who said what, you got people, their heads are just spinning in business because they can't plan. Though, and I can tell you, I have two law degrees, the basic law degree, and I have an advanced law degree in taxation. I can tell you the primary purpose for tax law, on the assumption the government has a legitimate need for raising revenue, and they do some way or another, somehow you got to pay for the roads and the army. Assuming that you do, the purpose in the tax law and how it's constructed is to be consistent enough over a meaningful period of time for people can plan their affairs. So if you have an IRA, I have an IRA. I know when I have to take it out. You know, they changed the rule now the last 3 years, and I've gotten screwed in each of those 3 years, but whatever. But that part doesn't hurt me. But what if let's say I was 50, and I'm older than 50, and they just pass a law that says next year your entire IRA will be taxable? Well, that's not how you deal with tax law. You plan your affairs, and you put this away, and you're storing it up for a rainy day or older age and for retirement so you could take it out incrementally to support your lifestyle at that time in life. But to go play whipsaw is not right. That's not the purpose of the tax laws, and keep in mind, tariffs are a tax law. They are it's a form of taxation, just administered differently. And I am not against tariffs, but I am against them changing three times a week. They're up, they're down, they're sideways, they're over, they're under. And it's gotten to the point where people just say, well, you know what? We don't even want to react to this tariff thing because Trump will probably change his mind. And he usually does. So point number three here, the impact of the election itself is greater than what we realize. I want to start with the obvious one here with Ma'am Donnie and the people of New York. Keep in mind, the other day, they elected a Laotian woman as mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota. Big city, 300,000. There are illegals. Are voting. You see, the legals can't vote in federal elections and most likely in state elections, but in mayoral contests, school board, there are cities that have granted illegals the supposed right to vote. And Ma'am Donnie has made it very clear that he is not going to help with ICE. In fact, he is encouraging illegal immigration to New York City. More illegals to vote for him and keep him in office. And you think, all right, what happened 24 years ago? 24 years ago, we got 9/11. Islamo whack jobs wreak havoc and bring hell down on New York City. And 24 years later, they're electing a communist Muslim whack job. Now, you say, why am I calling him a communist? He's a socialist, isn't he? No, communists don't start out as communists. They start out as socialists because socialism is a pill more easily swallowed by the masses. But once that basis is established and you have socialism, then it's a quick step to communism because it's now too late. The people have basically surrendered their authority and their power. And so he hates Jews. He hates Israel. He's very clear on it. He is, in fact, a communist. Socialism is just a cover, mind you, until it's okay to begin to fully be like Stalin or Castro. There aren't any democratic Islamic countries. 47 democ- 47 Islamic countries, and none of them are a true democracy. Why should this Muslim feel any differently? They all use the system that's given to them, which is what? Use the democratic electoral process to gain power, to be charismatic, to get in, and then simply expand your authority, expand your power. You got sections of towns that are now just off limits. You've got Sharia law in multiple places in Europe because they didn't dare to face the Islamic threat. And I'll talk about that more in a bit if I have time for it. He won't criticize Hamas. He calls Trump Hitler when Mamdani doesn't really even call Hitler Hitler, but he calls Trump Hitler. And he is already, I mean, his victory speech, all he did was scorch Trump. Then you got Fateh, whatever, that Minnesota guy who's running for mayor there. That election has not been called, at least at the time of this program. But he's out. He's out to the people. Is he waving the American flag? No, he's waving the Somali flag. Get your sorry butt back to Somalia. The immigration thing, and I agree with Trump on this one, ICE is still not strong enough. Stronger, bolder. Just load them up on the planes and get them out of here. Because if we don't, it's over. Even though, personally, I think it's over. You see, I mentioned, about a month ago, the issue of a Muslim takeover of this country and why it's necessary and why it's actually biblical. Because it says in the Bible, and some people want to know what the passage was, and I don't think I gave it, but there are a couple of passages. One of them being in Zechariah. In fact, let me just pull it out here so you got it. Chapter 12, Zechariah verse 3. And in that day, I will make, this is the Lord speaking, a burdensome stone for all people. I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth will be gathered together against it, Jerusalem. All the people of the earth. So I said at that time, kind of going back a month or so, the only way that this verse and a couple of others could be true is if the world basically is anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, and they're pro-Muslim. Only the Muslims carry the hate for Christians and Jews. No other religious faction carries on in that manner. And so in that context, it's difficult for me to see how we don't become a Muslim country. And you're seeing it. Dearborn, the mayor, just shouts down a Christian guy, tells him to get out of the city. And the day that he leaves the city, they're going to have an Islamic parade to celebrate the departure of that Christian man. Minneapolis could have a Somali Muslim whack job mayor. New York has one. These are big cities, folks. Not necessarily Dearborn, but they're coming to other cities. The expansion through Biden's stupid immigration plan. It wasn't a plan. It was just Ali Ali Oxen all in free. Has allowed that to expand and take roots with Islamic cells. They don't really need to blow up anything because they're taking over the country without it. And this country will no longer be safe for Jews or Christians. In my lifetime, I don't know. Not that far down the road, though. It's happening very, very fast. Maybe another reason to get trained and have a gun is just so you can protect yourself, your family, and your loved ones. Well, oh my gosh, are we too... Sorry, we're to a break already. This is Robin Walter with The Robin Walter Show, a part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Don't go away. I will be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I want to be a good man. I do like I should, man. I want to be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I want to be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be.
Okay, I just want to finish up this thing about Ma'am Donnie here quickly. I've said in the past, they're basically five kinds of Muslims. Technically six, but the sixth being one who really doesn't give a rip about the faith, but he doesn't want to lose his head, wants to be able to buy and sell, wants to be accepted in the community. And we'll just say he is, even though it's nominal, couldn't give a rip about the Quran or anything else, maybe violating it six ways from Tuesday, who knows. But that's just an accommodation. We have those in this country. But will they be that when the Muslim takeover grows? Because the five are really, first of all, the ones that mostly in the Middle East and other places, Iran, they're tough guys. And Nigeria, obviously, the execution of all the Christians, where the first one, they will kill you. They execute you, cut off your head or something. The second one is one that wouldn't cut off your head but will hold your feet while somebody else cuts off your head. The third one is one who won't cut off your head or hold your feet down but will be cheering from the sidelines. And the fourth one is one that won't be cutting off your head, holding the feet down, cheering from the sidelines, but they'll be silently praying for the execution of the person who is being executed. And number five is your Ma'am Donnie. He's the one who's selling tickets because he wants more illegal immigration. He wants more Muslims. He's selling tickets to New York City, in essence, is what he's doing. I don't think we don't, as a country, have the guts to stand up to it. And you know, it's interesting. If you read things by Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all the things that these individuals say about the Islamic faith, and that it is a faith rooted in terror and fear. Now, there are a bunch of Muslims that are coming to the Lord through incredible miracles, for which I am very, very faithful. I know some people who have ministries to the Muslims, and they are, far as I know, effective. And if they aren't, they're certainly gutsy, and I give them that. And that, on an individual basis, is what we need to do. On a collective basis, it's a different story. On an individual basis, yes, you would try to win them to the Lord. On a collective basis, you have to stop the takeover. Same thing as with homosexuals. You can't let them run the schools and mandate that kids learn about queer this and queer that. But an individual homosexual, then you would attempt to win them over to the Lord. And however the Lord would lead you to do that. But what this has what has happened here is the and just in the in what the couple days since the election, the whole situation with the violence in this country has gone up yet another notch, and it's gone up a big notch. I mean, we got this. This is the University of Oklahoma, folks. So she's really ticked off because Turning Point USA shows up there yesterday. No, I'm sorry. It was Young America's Foundation. Sort of the same thing, walking in the same steps as Turning Point. They had a table. The gal there, and she just wasn't the only one, just unleashed violence at these individuals like is happening, and now is happening even more so just since this election. You see, if the violence isn't stopped, then the people who commit the violence think that they have a license to exceed what they did before and more frequently. I mean, does a child who's not disciplined get better on his own? Or do they expand their sphere of disobedience? I think that's pretty obvious. We know that. That's why, you know, you bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And the, well, you know those passages. You know the thing, as Joe Biden would say. But this is just incredible. This particular one gal here was attending a Steven Crowder event. And I guess she's called a student. I mean, she looks like a student. I got the picture here. But they had a table set up to support traditional marriage. So the student then was tossing their material, overturned stuff, yanked out the signs, and she was just, this is just one of many incidences. She claims the absolute right to vandalize opposing views on campus. Now, what does that sound like? That is your fascist. That is your college campus under Nazi Germany, where nobody could speak out that opposed Hitler. The Antifa are the consummate fascists. One says, notably, one of the students involved in the attacks here insisted that only the government is prevented from trashing tables. And as a private citizen, she claims she had the right to do so. The sense of license to do so has been drilled into these students by both educational and political figures, for this is the face of rage. This is not free speech, as the student claimed. She's claiming she has free speech to destroy other people's speech. Then I guess you got the right to go up there and punch her in the mouth and knock her out cold so that she can't speak and call it free speech. You're exercising a right to keep her from speaking. She's exercising her so-called right to keep you from speaking. Of course, I don't mean that, but something a little short of that would be appropriate. I don't know. Depends on the situation. But this is not free speech, as the student claims. It's the denial of the exercise of free speech. And this violence just continues to ratchet up more and more and more. I could go through, I don't want to do this part of it. I'm kind of fatiguing of all the attacks by Democratic candidates for office against Republican opponents. I mean, this one just in from the other day here from Cincinnati. He was arrested burglarizing the house of his Republican congressional opponent. We got another Democrat lawmaker here quits after arrest for alleged child sex crimes. He was running on an anti-cop pro-criminal program. And no wonder. I mean, the scumbag obviously was campaigning to align with his personal beliefs. But the audacity and lawlessness. Keep in mind, the Antichrist's quintessential feature is lawlessness. That's from, forgot whether it's 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. But he's called he's called the lawless one. There is no law to the Antichrist because he can do whatever he wants. Which reminds me of these women. Delectable crackers, black woman threatens to hunt down, roast, and eat white people if the government assistance is taken away. I got the video. This is not blackface. Another black woman. These things are too graphic to even listen to. Get out there and ravish. The woman out of food stamps shows off her stolen goods, urges others to steal, tries to tell how easy it is to steal in white neighborhoods because they won't attract you, and also says to infiltrate churches for cash. Now, what's concerning here, and I can't read the words of either of these women, because it's all just profanity at the extreme level. Haven't gotten off their fat butt and worked probably a day in their life. But they demand that what's yours is mine and I'll take it. That's what they're saying. Here's the one, what I can read. Everything out there is yours. Whether or not you take it, it's free. It's called eminent domain. You know what I'm saying? One thing I learned from the white man, just take it. The racial animosity here is just incredible in these stories. I mean, they're just all foul mouth, all stealing, saying it's their right to steal, that the woman who'd been on food stamps for, what, 35 years, thinking that she's got a right to take it because we've subsidized her sorry butt for 35 years, never attempted to work. She'd been on food stamps since her early 30s, made no attempt to work. Cut her off. Go get a job, woman. So, I don't want to go further on this thing because that's just one area of the violence. I'll go to another area of the violence. And it's back to our college campuses, which the survey for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Freedoms reveals that there is just the massive damage inflicted by hate campaigns that are launched against academics across America when they say something of which the mob of students disapproves, or mobs of students and other faculty. They surveyed more than 600 academics and going through what they have gone through, and they said, you know, we don't dare to speak out or we'll lose our job. We'll have threats. We get doxxed. We have people showing up at our houses. We've got they can't say anything. They can't even be middle of the road. The requirement is that, and also against the First Amendment, is basically forced speech. Not only do you not get to say what you want under the First Amendment, we're going to demand you to say what we want to hear, and that's our right. The cancellation campaigns wrapped up in the language of preventing emotional harm. But they said here, quote, our survey shows that the mobs themselves are the ones that are inflicting lasting mental anguish on professors, many of whom still suffer the consequences long after a controversy has subsided. They also express greater worry about damaging reputations, losing their jobs. More than half of the conservative teachers reported at least occasionally having to hide their political beliefs from peers in order to protect their careers. One professor wrote, quote, due to the extreme amount of hate mail and voicemails I've received, I had campus police officer posted outside my class for a period of time and an escort to my vehicle. My husband was constantly worried about my safety. We rarely went places in public anymore. And my mother was harassed online by complete strangers from the school. She got emails that said, you are unintelligent. You are poorly educated. You are nauseatingly fat and hideous. Your life has no value. Kill yourself. Now this, end of quote, this study found that 94% of respondents reported negative impacts, including reputational damage, post-traumatic stress disorder, and job loss. That's just, and do you think that all the races that the left won here this week dispels the need to behave that way? No. They think that behaving that way actually advances their cause. I'm going to take it to another level, which most people do not know. The number of Trump cabinet members that have now had to move into military housing because of the political violence threatened against them. I mean, Kristi Noem, Stephen Miller, Marco Rubio, they're having to be housed in military housing, at least at times, just for safety from the rent-a-mobs that are out there to destroy them. There is no coming together. There's only one thing that will actually ultimately solve this. Because I don't see, yeah, it would be a wholesale revival. I don't believe that's happening. I can pray for it, but I think the only thing that's going to resolve it ultimately will be war. That's what happens when things get to that end, and it seems to be to that end. And what's the left? What is the left complaining? Is the leftist media complaining that their compatriots on the streets, who they've energized and animated and funded, are they concerned that they've driven cabinet members into military housing? No. You know what their complaint is? Their complaint is that they are getting free housing in military quarters. They're complaining that they're not paying for it and the taxpayer is having to cover their housing costs, which they shouldn't, even though it's their thugs that are on the street that have driven them into those military quarters. And in fact, it's the thugs that are costing the taxpayer money. But if you think that things are getting better, this is what is just unbelievably concerning. Look at the people who won in this election. I've already covered Mamdani, Mr. Muslim on steroids. If you take Mikey Sherrill, or Cheryl, I've heard it pronounced both ways, she won the New Jersey gubernatorial campaign. And she is one of the worst segment of American society that exists. No, it's not Hispanics. It's not homosexuals. It's not anti-Semitic Republicans or Democrats. It's not blacks. It's white liberal women. White liberal women suck. They are horrific. This Mikey Sherrill is one of them. I mean, she is the one who came out and said, well, first of all, she's basically also fully supportive of woke schools, LGBT story hours for the kids, sanctuary cities, government benefits for illegal aliens, cashless bail for violent criminals, boys in the girls' locker room, and it goes on and on and on. But this is a quote. She has stated she absolutely will not let parents in New Jersey opt out of LGBT, QRSD, UV, WXYZ brainwashing for the kids. Her words, quote, I would push an LGBTQ education in our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out. This is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. Oh, shut up. My goodness sakes. This is pathetic. This is what people voted for in New Jersey. Yeah, was it a reaction? Maybe in part to Trump? In part, yeah, it was. But there isn't any repentance going on in this country at all. Quite the contrary, it's getting worse. The darkness is getting darker. The evil is getting more evil. The shrill voices of left-wing extremism, the anti-God haters, are screaming louder and louder and louder. You get to Jay Jones and Spanberger's election as governor of Virginia. The woman who refused to condemn Jay Jones, who also won as attorney general in Virginia, this is the guy who said he fantasized about killing his Republican opponent and murdering his Republican opponent's children. He did. I read that a few weeks ago. So let me understand. What would be the reaction if I said, why, I really, honestly, just wish somebody would blow Obama's brains out and then murder his two daughters? Do you think that I would win an election with that? No, of course I wouldn't say that anyway, because that's not how I feel. This is just, this is a test. This is a quiz, quick quiz for you guys. How long would that person last an election? Well, I suppose they could run for office, but would they win by 13 percentage points? Like this loser Spanberger? One, because she would not condemn that speech, and Jones wins, who actually made that speech. So I guess Jay Jones happened at, or texting that. So I guess what we're saying is that in theory, if Jay Jones can say that, then you and I and anybody, we can start texting how much we want somebody to be shot and their brains blown out and their children being executed. Now, I wouldn't do that as a Christian, but the precedent has been set by the left. But if something happens from somebody on the right that replicates what the left has done or encouraged or said, they won't talk about the left. They'll only talk about the right and the violence encouraged by the right. This is how evil the evil is. This is how dark the darkness is. This is the degree to which we as a country have split. And there are some things you can't put back together. Go crack an egg. How do you put that yolk back in the shell? You can't. We are at a tipping point, and I think we may have passed it. I see great things coming out of little pockets. There are all these Bible sales going on, which I think is great. Bible sales are up like 30% since the Charlie Kirk assassination. But a 30% increase is a relatively small increase in Bible sales. Big percentage, small in actual numbers. I love all the students going to the baptisms and the tent meeting, so to speak, the outdoor evangelistic rally at the University of Tennessee. That is fabulous news. And so what I am doing, I will tell you what I'm doing in response to this. I am shifting more and more and more of my giving to those things which deal with the education and, if necessary, the re-education of young folks. I don't know what the generation younger than Gen Z is, because Gen Z is, the youngest is about 12. I don't know if we've given a name to it, but the Gen Z, which is what, 12 to 26 or something like that. You got to get your kids out of a government school. Forget it. Bite the bullet. Draw down your IRA. Put a second mortgage on your house. Get your kids or your grandchildren into good Christian schools, or you'll pay the price. What does it say, 1 John 1:4? I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the light or walk in truth. No greater joy. Which, of course, means there's no greater hardship, pain, anguish, disappointment, despondency, than to know that your children and also your grandchildren do not walk in the truth. You have a role to play here. Having done all to stand, stand. If you don't, nobody's going to stand for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. And put money into those kids' education. Make sure that, I mean, you don't have complete control, obviously. It's not your job if it's a grandparent. If it's your children, you have a measure of control. Exercise it. You have a duty. You're not going to, how would we expect to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if we haven't done what was good and we haven't been faithful to train up our children and our grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How could we ever expect to hear those words when what we have done is nothing? Now, I'm partly preaching to myself, but as I've said, to the extent that I have any involvement, leftists, sodomites, you name it, go right on down the line, racists of any color are not going to get near my grandchildren. No, 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 no. That's not going to happen. And now I'm starting to invest in making sure they don't get near your grandchildren or your children or anybody else's grandchildren or children. It's where I've gone to with my money. I'm not there with great big evangelistic organizations anymore. It needs to go down to the rank and file. All the newly born Charlie Kirks out there in the streets, the University of Tennessee gospel congregations on the campus, schools for kids that teach them the way, the only way, the way, the truth, and the life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you get the idea. I think you also get the idea how serious the matter is. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.